Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Have you ever lost something that was valuable? How did this make you feel? And I want you guys to shout it out.
Sad.
Sad, yeah.
Annoyed.
Annoyed, discouraged.
Frustrated.
Frustrated, very frustrated. Yeah. Losing valuable things can be very discouraging, frustrating. And I actually heard a story about the famous director, Guillermo del Toro, known for such movies as Pan's Labyrinth or The Shape of Water. And he once lost something that was very important to him, a simple notebook. Now, del Toro had left this sketchbook of 4 years in the back of a British cab. This notebook not only contained the past 4 years of sketches, visions, but it also included the vision for a project he was currently working on, Pan's Labyrinth. Now, once del Toro realized that this was lost, he went through all the efforts to try to find it again. He followed behind in a second cab. He went to the taxi company and even the police to try to find this notebook. And he put all this effort into it. And to his surprise, it did turn up. The cabbie he was driving with had noticed there was something left behind. And going off of a scrap of paper with a hotel logo, the cabbie was able to return the notebook to its owner. When it was returned, del Toro rejoiced, and he even gave the cabbie a $900 tip. Both the cabbie and del Toro put so much effort in returning this lost item, and both of them rejoiced at its return. Today we're going to be continuing with our masterclass in the book of Luke. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus is sitting and eating with sinners and tax collectors. The Pharisees look at him as degrading himself in this manner, or maybe being a little too cozy with them. Jesus defends his actions by telling a story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the sheep until he finds it? What he's saying here is that if you were to lose something of value, would you not go out of your way to seek it? If this lost item did not have value, there would be no use in looking for it. So here we see that the sheep has value. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Finding the sheep was difficult. It's a hard task going out into the wilderness, and bringing it back is not going to be an easy task. What with the extra weight now? But see, the shepherd does not despise the task, nor the sheep for putting him in this situation. In fact, the shepherd is filled with joy with the burden of restoring the sheep back to the flock. The shepherd saw how the value of the sheep was so much more than the effort that he would need to put into it to restore. So we continue with, the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." the shepherd returns home, not begrudgingly, but filled with joy. But why did the shepherd go home and not to the rest of the flock? Well, let's get some context. So when shepherds, especially those who are looking after a large flock, they don't work alone. There are two or three shepherds present. And as one shepherd goes to look for the lost sheep, the other two will gather the flock and return home. Once they get home, they will tell the friends and family, the community, what had happened. As well, these flocks, they would often be communal for the village. So all these friends and neighbors, they're invested in the return of the one sheep. So when the shepherd returned home with the sheep, everyone celebrated. He rejoices with friends and neighbors at the restoration of the one sheep. So Jesus, actually, he wraps up the parable by explaining precisely what the parable means. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Jesus did not always explain his parables. And when he did, often it would be to his disciples in private. But this time, he says this aloud in front of both the Pharisees and the sinners, the tax collectors that he was sitting with. So this explanation is important. Well, of course it is. It's coming from Jesus. But when he says in the same way, Jesus is making a direct comparison to heaven, the place where God is, where the angels are. When a sinner repents, when we repent, there is much rejoicing in heaven. There's not condemnation, but celebration upon restoration. Now, Jesus goes on to tell another story parallel to the first. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? So again, an item of value is lost. And the one searches until it is found. The search this woman performs is all out. Nothing is left unturned. She goes through the whole house with the lamp, searching for this one coin. And the woman knows the coin is out there. It is just a matter of effort to put in to find it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." When the woman finds the coin, she, like the shepherd, rushes to friends and neighbors to celebrate its return. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Sin causes us to be lost, to be disconnected from God. When we are lost, we're going in directions that lead us away from God. And Jesus showed us our need for repentance, to change our hearts and grow so that we may be lost no longer. God is on an all-out search for the lost. No stone will be left unturned as he searches for his children. When one lost person is found, there is much rejoicing in heaven. And Jesus actually reveals three very important truths from these parables. The first truth that we learn is that God values every person. Jesus eats and drinks with sinners and Pharisees alike. There's no one person who does not have value. Think of how you felt when you lost something precious to you. God values these people very highly. The second truth that we learn is that when any person gets lost, they are worth searching for. A tear up the floorboards kind of search. They are worth full-on rescue. How did you go about searching for something that was irreplaceable to you? It is worth the effort to find and restore the lost. The third truth that we learn is that when the lost person is found, there is great rejoicing in heaven. God rejoices as the one lost sheep is found. Think about the time when this lost item was returned to you. Think of that joy. That is how God feels like. It is worth rejoicing. The truth that ties all this together is that all of heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the angels of God are all invested in the return of the one, back to him. Do we have any idea how valuable we are to God? John 3:16 tells us quite plainly that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is how much God loves the lost, how much he values the lost. Okay, but I keep saying the lost. But what does this actually mean? It's not just being misplaced or wandering around in a forest. As well, being lost is not merely not knowing Jesus. That is very true, but there's a hidden epidemic afflicting my generation. If someone does not know Jesus, surely, yeah, they're lost. But still, someone can believe in Jesus, yet still not understand God's desire for their life. It can feel like one is wandering aimlessly through a dense forest. This has been my story. I believed in Jesus, but I was confused. Like many young people my age today, I did not know what I was here for. I did not know my purpose. I did not have a direction to follow. After I graduated high school, I did not follow the path to post-secondary. I had no purpose there to follow, so I took a gap year. As a family, we moved to Creston and got connected here at Erickson Covenant. And still, during this time, I filled my life with things, but still had no direction, no goal or no path. I took a personal development course where they highlighted the value of mentorship. Through a growing relationship with Pastor Tom, I asked him if he would mentor me. And it was not long after which, under the prompting of Tennille, that Tom told me about Headwaters Discipleship School up in the harbor at the harbor at Ryandale, where I began asking questions about my faith, my call, my gifts. The people at Headwaters, Mark and Jess Hagen, their amazing kids, Al Heinrichs, Christian and Molly Hoff, helped to draw out these questions. They helped me to see the value that I have in God's eyes. After Headwaters, I left for Wilderness Ranch, which is a Bible camp in southern Alberta, where I worked alongside others my age. and as people around me walked alongside me, listened to my story, helped me with my struggles, ICI have been found and see Jesus in a great new light. I was lost in the church. Pastor Tom, the people of Headwaters, Wilderness Ranch, and you, the people of Erickson Covenant, have recognized that I have value and have helped me to see it. God searched for me using all of these many people. Each person played an essential role in the process of restoration. And every one of us have a part to play in God's search for his people. If you drop a quarter on the street and can't find it after a quick search, you're going to keep walking. It's just a quarter. But if you lose your great-grandfather's watch, will you not look all over? Backtrack every single step you made since you lost it? Make every effort to find it? So you see, as the value of something goes up, so too does the effort to take to find it again. But how much more valuable are the people lost in this world than of a lost watch? God sees the value in these people. We must see the value as well. Our lack of how we actually view my generation is what keeps us from putting effort into them. But I implore you, don't let my generation go unnoticed. I am grateful that I have been found by Jesus. But we need to be searchers. We need to be invested. We need to be a people who see the value of this generation. While insecurity, identity confusion, hate, and anxiousness plague this generation, we must see the value of these people as made in the image of God, and see the value that God sees in them. Let us remember the truths that Jesus revealed in the parables. God values every person. When any person gets lost, they are worth searching for. And when the lost person is found, there is great rejoicing in heaven. So we see how all of heaven is invested in the return of even one lost person. And now we come to the application piece. Just as I was lost in the church, many other young people are as well. I mentioned earlier the all-out search to search for the lost. I will tell you what this can mean. This immense, all-out search can mean going out for coffee with a young man or woman. It can mean showing an interest in their life. To take a walk with a young adult. To really listen to them and to be present. That is the all-out search. So I'm going to make a really specific application today. You have a young person in your life who is lost. Could be a grandkid, a hiking buddy, or a friend. See the value in these young adults as God sees it. And as you open your heart to see people in this way, you will find the lost. When you do, rejoice. Rejoice and walk with them. Be present in their lives. Listen to their story. Help them with their struggles. And as you do, both of you will see Jesus more clearly. ask yourself these questions. Will you be a searcher in this generation? Who are you walking alongside who is in their 20s? For example, if you are in your 40s or older, who are you walking alongside? Who is younger than you? Who is in their 20s? Find them and begin walking with them. As you search for the lost, you will see the value in these young adults more than they see it themselves. It is a privilege to walk with a young man or woman. There is joy in the effort. A large part of walking alongside someone is holding up their value to God in front of them so they can see it. Pray for them. Show up with love in your heart. Be willing to walk alongside them. And as you do, they will see their own value. And as you do, they will be found. I've been speaking as if all of you are found. But I recognize that some of you here today may be feeling lost, may be feeling confused. If you are here and are feeling lost or confused, find someone to walk alongside you. Take that first step. Get your foot in the door. And if you do, I am sure you will be surprised with the willingness and openness that you will find before you. Jesus saw our value. This is the heart of the gospel. He went to the open countryside. He lit a lamp and searched the house. He made the search. He did everything, even to the point of giving his life for us. Because he saw our value. He knew how lost we were. Jesus did this for us, so let us do likewise, be like Jesus and do likewise. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for finding us, for coming down and putting forth the effort of a complete tear up the floorboard search so that we may be found. You see our value even when we do not. I thank you for finding me, for using obedient hearts to walk alongside me. Jesus, fill us with obedience and love. Love for your people, love for the lost. Let us be completely obedient to you as you call us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and grace. Let our words be calming. Let our love be overflowing. How great is your love. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.